Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. USA versus New Zealand International Friendly, the post-game show. You can also listen to this program on theultimatesportstalk.com as we discuss this interesting match here. It ended in a 1-1 draw. And, you know, in this one, and, you know, once again, this is just a full-blown international friendly, obviously, so I really wouldn't put too much stock into it, but I will say this. I think what we have seen is maybe some players coming off the bench for the two qualifiers in Columbus against Mexico and down in San Jose, Costa Rica. And I just think that the United States in this one, the result is not a big issue right now, even though certain things were a little bit worrisome, if you want to say it, when this match got started, and then they finally got themselves into a rhythm. And then all of a sudden, towards the second half, there were some issues from the United States that you hope won't happen in November. But other than that, you know, a 1-1 draw is not bad. I mean, it could have been better, maybe a much better performance that we could have seen here towards the ending of the second half. Because the back end of the second half is what's kind of worrying me a little bit, that, to be honest. It worried me a bit. And while I don't think we'll see that when they take on Mexico, the truth of the matter is this, is that for the United States, I really, really believe that when they take on Mexico, you know, that challenge will be a lot bigger. And we all know it's going to be a lot bigger. It's going to be a lot better. And to be honest, it's just the situation that for the United States right now, that one you cannot second guess at all. You cannot second guess at all. And for the United States, you just have to say that they're going to have to be ready for a big challenge against Mexico, because you know they're going to come out guns a-blazing because they want to find a way to get points. They want to get points against the United States. So that's a situation that, let's be honest, that they want to get. And the situation is that, you know, November 11th, Friday night, Columbus Crew Stadium, that's the big one. That's going to start the hex. So we'll see what happens when the team is going to get ready for these huge, huge World Cup qualifiers. Once again, they're starting early. They're going to begin around November. And then they'll finish it off the rest of 2017 when we get there. So it's going to be an interesting situation. It's going to be a very, very interesting situation when we get down to the nitty-gritty. Because these are the games that are going to matter. These are the games that are going to matter. And they're going to find a way to get out there and to perform once again. Big moment here. But once again, you have to say for the United States, tale of two halves, or shall we say, terrible start. Great middle, terrible end. So if that's what you want to say, I would say that's your tale of two halves. The middle was fantastic, but unfortunately for the United States, unfortunately, the beginning and the ends were not that good. And I really think that is the one issue right now for the United States that they need to fix right away. So all I can say is that they need to fix that situation as soon as possible.
And once again, everybody, Forty Scenes Fire American Soccer Show here on blogtalkradio.com/Forty Scenes Fire. You can also listen to this show on theultimatesportstalk.com. But all you can say right now is in the United States, there's some positives. I think there's some positives right now, and the positives continue to look strong. And that, of course, once again, is New York Red Bulls midfielder Sasha Kljestan. How he has looked, since coming over, coming back to Major League Soccer and playing for the Red Bulls, he has looked fantastic. He has looked absolutely fantastic, showing what he can do in the midfield, making some nice passes, making some fantastic passes to on the offensive end of the ball. And, you know, once again, you're seeing Sasha Kljestan absolutely doing a job out there. And you have to wonder, what's it going to be like when he takes on these top Mexican players like Chicharito when he gets out there. But I thought he had a great match starting. He played the full 90 minutes, and you know what? Why not? Because we all know what's going to happen. Finishing up the MLS season with the Red Bulls, going to have one of those two top spots in the East secured when they go to the playoffs. And all you can say is that he's going to actually be one of those players that's going to be important for Jurgen Klinsmann. And all you can say is that, once again, this is going to be a fantastic matchup when we have USA taking on Mexico in Columbus. And once again, Sasha Kljestan looking like one of the top players in for the national team. And I think he's done a fantastic job with how he is going to be used here by Jurgen Klinsmann. And I think Sasha Kljestan's got his spot already taken care of.
And once again, it's just a I just think it's a solid job there by Kljestan trying to attack. Julian Green. You know, I got to say about Julian Green right now, he's looking more composed. Julian Green is looking solid. And, you know, I just think right now Julian Green is probably going to be considered to come off the bench. I don't think he's going to be ready to start. It would be nice if he started, but I don't think he's going to start. You're going to see, I would have to assume, Bobby Wood and Jozy Altidore up top. I think Jurgen Klinsmann will go with a 4-4-2. And you're going to see Pulisic in the midfield starting with Michael Bradley and Sasha Kljestan in the middle. And Bradley will be that defensive player in the back. I also believe, honestly, Lyndon Gooch, my God, this kid, I think this kid is going to be something special when he gets an opportunity here. I think that Lyndon Gooch right now is definitely going to get an opportunity here coming off the bench as well, because we're seeing we're definitely seeing another kid in the making who's going to attack wide. And that's what you want, at least to attack wide, coming off the bench and looking solid himself. So I think right now we don't have to worry so much about certain players coming off the bench, certain players starting. I think so far right now, we are seeing players finally. Jurgen Klinsmann is molding players looking solid and strong. Obviously, it all depends about what happens to Clint Dempsey. I know he hasn't – I don't think he has called a career yet, both internationally and ML and, you know, professionally, period. We'll see what happens to Clint Dempsey. But the truth of the matter is this. I believe for Clint Dempsey, until it is, you know, until we see him get out there training and everything else that's going on with him, that he is basically feeling better at the same time. We just have to wait and see what he's going to do. We're just going to have to wait and see what type of shape Clint Dempsey's going to be in, because, you know, that irregular heartbeat's not a, it's not a, a joke. It's not a funny matter. But once again, if Clint Dempsey is cleared to play and Clint Dempsey finds a way to get cleared and to play out there, then obviously that's an added bonus for the national team. But right now, I just feel like Clint Dempsey, you know, with this irregular heartbeat, and I'm not saying I'm hoping for this, I'm not saying I want it to happen, I'm just giving my opinion. It's a possibility. I think this might be it for him. But then again, who knows? Maybe he'll be ready for 2017. Maybe this situation will be cleared for him to go out there and put on that national team shirt. But right now, I think we're seeing the future of the national team. We're seeing the Landon Donovan / Dempsey era going away. We're seeing Michael Bradley now leading this team. And I would think he's going to do something special here. But once again, the big question mark is going to be about attacking in the run of play, finding ways to get out there, and also finding ways to just try and get something going here. Because right now it's important to see who's going to come off the bench when you're in trouble, or who's going to come off the bench when you're able to attack and continue to attack and score. I don't think there's an issue right now with goalkeeping. There's no issue right now with the back line, because we all know what Jurgen Klinsmann is going to do and who he's going to bring over. But let me just say this. We're going to see, you know, we got to see a tighter defense out there when you've got Mr. Patterson getting an opportunity to score. Monty Patterson in the 72nd minute, terrible defending, and we're going to have to say it's also shoddy goalkeeping by Mr. Bingham. Not because he plays for the Earthquakes, but because he should have done better with that. And he should have done much better with that goal. And all I can say is that New Zealand deserved it. I hope that, for the United States, when they're getting ready to take on Mexico, that everything is going to be a lot better. And look, it's Columbus, but then again, you know, we'll see what happens here, because Juan Carlos Osorio is a very crafty manager. Let's be fair here. He's a very, very crafty manager. I should know. I saw him in Major League Soccer back in 2008, 2009, when he managed the New York Red Bulls. took them to the MLS Cup final. And unfortunately, losing that final to the Columbus Crew 3-1, but still, though, he is a crafty, crafty manager. Yes, I know he made those comments about Major League Soccer and everything, but that's the whole point. He was being intentionally being negative, and he was trying to strike a nerve. And let me just say this. I am well aware of what he's going to try and do and how he's going to try to mess the whole thing up here. Excuse me. Just a little under the weather, folks. I apologize about that. But definitely, got to be careful with what's going to happen on that Friday when the United States will host Mexico at MAPFRE Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. I'm very happy to say the match is sold out. Saw reports the match is sold out, also on Twitter. This is going to be huge. This is going to be big. And gotta tell you, this is going to be one of those moments for the United States. Gotta keep on keeping on with the score line. If they score more than two, then, you know, hey, that's what's got to have to happen. But Columbus is definitely going to put a lot of pressure, a lot of big pressure for the United States. For Mexico, I should say. Got to put the pressure on them because, you know, this is the hallowed grounds for the USA when they defeated Mexico 2-0 all the way back for the final round, the hexagonal, 2001, on the road to both South Korea and Japan back in the day. So, what we have here, once again in this friendly, is a situation where the United States, the result really didn't matter that much. You just want to see good performances. You want to see how newer players are going to be adapting with the older players. Like I said before, I thought Kleischen had a very good match. Michael Bradley had a good match. Altidore just, and I don't want to rag on Josie at all. I mean, I love Josie. I'm glad that he, you know, he's able to get called in and do certain things. And it's just one of those things where I believe there are times he just doesn't concentrate out there, whether he is on or off the ball. It's just a mental thing. I don't know why he does it. I don't think he should do it. I don't believe he's shown enough, in my opinion. But the truth of the matter is this. Josie needs to improve on that. Josie needs to go out there and improve on his mental game sharpness. I don't care if it's New Zealand. I don't care if it's Cuba. I don't even care if it's, Cook Islands. Okay? Every opponent you got to take on, you got to take them on at 100%, even Steven, everything. I saw a play late in this second half where he just let the ball go. And then it got picked off again by New Zealand, and they went and attacked. And I think it led to the attack of the corner, that all of a sudden the goal came in, or maybe it was a little bit later on, or maybe a little before that. But still, though, Josie Altidore is worrying me a little bit, and we got to make sure that, or at least he needs to know, he cannot lose concentration out on the field. And even when he, you know, gets the ball, he's not paying attention to where the runs are coming from. He's not paying attention to who's making a run. And then when he finally gets his head up, and yeah, he caught a man open on the far side of the field, and he crossed it, and that's fine. But when you've got a guy who's asking for the ball, who's begging for the ball, and he wants the ball really badly, then you know what? How about you actually give the guy the ball who's been wanting the ball because he's calling your name? Give that player the ball who wants it. Don't all of a sudden just play with it. Then you look up and you're, oh, okay, I'll cross it to you. Cannot have that, especially in a World Cup qualifier. Which I know this match was not a World Cup qualifier, but that's not the point. The point is that you got to go full out and 100%. Doesn't matter if it's a friendly, Gold Cup, World Cup qualifier, or the World Cup itself. And the truth of the matter is this. What happens if you're going to play New Zealand in the playoffs? Because let's not forget, Oceania is just all New Zealand now. Australia is in the Asian Football Confederation. You're not going to feel... the Cook Islands. You're not going to face Vanuatu. You're not going to face Samoa or American Samoa. It's going to be New Zealand. You're going to face New Zealand. And New Zealand known that they have enough quality, regardless of being the only power in that confederation of Oceania. They will be a handful. Because you never know when you're going to face an opponent that you need to defeat handedly. Because I'm telling you right now, New Zealand came to play. They came to play against Mexico in their last friendly. They came to play against the U.S. in this one. And boy, oh boy, did they show why they mean business. But I have to say it. We have to say it. This match at times was great for the United States, and at times it was not great for the United States. I understand you make a lot of subs in these international friendlies. You lose a little rhythm here and there. The truth of the matter is New Zealand did not lose any rhythm at all. New Zealand went out and attacked. And the truth of the matter is New Zealand had chances to at least take a lead. Thankfully, there was some good defense. Thankfully, a ball was near the goal line, cleared off the line by Michael Orozco. We saw some solid goalkeeping from David Bingham. We saw some chances that went away for New Zealand, some chances that went away for the United States. And how about Danny Williams once again? Danny Williams, in my opinion, and I don't know how many more chances he's going to get. He should get a lot of chances. I like his gumption. I like his initiative on the ball. I like it when he gets closer to the area and he rips one and it's on target. I mean, his technique has been unbelievable. And every time he goes from distance to rip a ball, it's usually in the back of the net. New Zealand's keeper just played a solid, solid second half. And did so many wonderful things. And this is a guy I like as well to come off the bench. I know he's defensive midfielder, but he has some great abilities to go out there and attack the ball. So all I can say is that while there are some positives for the United States, there's still some negatives. But hopefully everything will be decided. Who's the roster is going to be out before, what's going to happen on Friday, November the 11th, and then over in Columbus, and then they got to fly down to Central America, to San Jose, Costa Rica, to a place they've never won, to a country they've never gotten points out of, down in Costa Rica, and they got to go to the National Stadium down in San Jose, Costa Rica. The United States right now, you're hoping for at least 4 points to start off the hex. You have to hope for 4 points to start off the hex because nothing else will matter. If you start off with 6, by gosh, that would be awesome. But right now, you're hoping for 4 points. 3 points at Columbus on the 11th of November. At least a draw down in San Jose, Costa Rica against the Ticos. because it doesn't matter if it was at the Dragon's Den, at where Deportivo Saprissa plays, or the brand new National Stadium. Playing down against Costa Rica is a tough, tough order for the United States. They got to go down there. They got to find a way. And we'll see what happens when we get there. We'll see what happens when that opportunity comes to fruition. Because right now for the United States, this is going to be a very, very interesting matchup. And I would really, really hope that Jurgen Klinsmann has assessed the players that he needs for these qualifiers. And we can go down, get ready, two matches in November, two next year. I should say actually eight next year, two in March, two in June, two in September, two in October. The United States right now is looking really, really strong here with some of the players we've seen and some of the players that I think they're going to get a true chance here. Once again, going back to Julian Green, this kid has improved. The kid has improved. Two goals in these two friendlies. The handshake friendly, you know, the opportunity in Cuba on Friday afternoon. That opportunity he got to convert was great. The goal he scored in the first half against New Zealand was absolutely wonderful. I don't think he's going to start, but if he is going to be on this roster for both Mexico and Costa Rica, I see him coming off the bench. I truly see Julian Green coming off the bench. Do I think he's ready to start? No. I think he might need some more seasoning. I think he'll probably need more playing time where he is at right now. I know he's a Bayern Munich player, but right now I believe he's on loan. I think Julian Green right now, to be honest, needs more minutes. And as of right now, I think he needs to come off the bench if he does get picked to sub in from the bench. I'm not saying I'm not trying to dampen the good feeling about Julian Green. I loved what I saw. I think he's going to be a great player for the national team. Here's the thing, though. At the moment, if you're talking about depth chart, and you have to look at depth chart for the United States. You have to. There's no bones about it. I mean, you're just going to have to look at depth chart. And right now, who do I see coming off the bench? Offensively, Boyd. Julian Green, if he gets picked. Danny Williams coming off the bench, because you wouldn't mind an X factor in a guy like him. Still, though, we need to see more from Julian Green in his club form. Other than that, everything looks really good right now for Julian Green. I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he should be forced to start. I think he should be coming off the bench. That's how I see things. That's what I believe needs to happen. But until that happens, as of right now, Julian Green should be coming off the bench. And it's not a bad thing. It's not one of the worst things in the world, because you want to see how he's going to do. You want to see how he's going to do and how he's going to perform. And we're going to see it. What's going to happen on Friday, November the 11th? Here are the opening matches of the Hex for Russia 2018 in the final round of qualifying. As we all said, the United States will be taking on Mexico, hosting it in Columbus, Ohio at MAPFRE Stadium. Honduras will be taking on Panama, and then Trinidad and Tobago will be hosting Costa Rica. On November the 15th, Tuesday evening, a late nighter at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Costa Rica will be hosting the United States. Panama will be hosting Mexico. And Honduras will have two consecutive home games, and they'll be hosting Trinidad and Tobago. Mexico will have two road games to start off. So we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. We're going to have to wait and see what will happen when the United States opens up their first two matches in the hexagonal. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. I personally cannot wait. Now, let's move on to other matters talking about World Cup qualifying. Now, courtesy of Rob Harris from the AP, Mr. Harris talked with current CONCACAF president, Victor Montagliani, of course, the Canadian, that ran the Canadian Soccer Association. Now, I don't know if he's still running the Canadian Soccer. I have to assume that being a CONCACAF vice president, you might have to give up that position. Mr. Montagliani has said he has instigated a review of an archaic format that leaves only six out of the region's 35 teams still in with a shot at qualifying for Russia in 2018. Now, here's the situation that, of course, we're going through right now. As everybody knows, we've had lower-level sides facing against each other that are lower-ranked in these goal aggregate playoffs. We saw, I have to probably go back to the FIFA website. CAF's going to have the World Cup qualifying all there. But let's just go to World Cup. Yep, here we go. Okay. So we had in the first round, that was in March of 2015, the following lowest ranked participating member associations ranked 22 through 35 based on the Coca-Cola World Rankings that was of August 2014. They're going to contest round one. We saw the Bahamas, Bermuda, British Virgin Islands, Dominica, Barbados, U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Kitts, Nevis, Turks and Caicos, Nicaragua, Belize, Cayman Islands, Curaçao, Montserrat, and this team, and Angola. It was 2, 4, 6, 7 groups for goal aggregate with away goals rule starting in round one. The round one winners advanced to round two. Now, some teams began in round two either waiting for round one winners or facing each other in round two. So there were 7 round one winners, and then it became also 13 teams that began in the second round. And that was, you know, along with the 7 winners, it was Antigua and Barbuda, along with Canada, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Grenada, Guyana, St. Lucia, Puerto Rico, El Salvador, and Suriname, and St. Vincent Grenadines. There were 10 matches in the second round for goal aggregate, again, playoffs. And then you had the 10 second-round winners going to round three. Joining them in round three was Jamaica and Haiti. And then when the draw was done not only for to see which teams that were ranked 1 through 6 would go to the 3 semifinal round groups for the first and second position, and then the third and fourth positions were going to be tested by round two winners and the 2 round three beginners. That was Haiti and Jamaica. The winners of those round three matchups went to the semifinal group stages. That's where Canada and El Salvador went to round group A. Jamaica and Haiti went to group B. St. Vincent Grenadine and Guatemala went to group C. And then, of course, round four once again, the three semifinal round groups, which had Group A, Mexico, Honduras, Canada, El Salvador, Group B, Costa Rica, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, and Group C, United States, Trinidad and Tobago, Guatemala, and St. Vincent and Grenadines. USA, Trinidad and Tobago went to the hex. Costa Rica, Panama went to the hex. Mexico and Honduras went to the hex. And now we have the hex starting in November. Now, obviously, CONCACAF, as we know it of right now, is not that strong. There's some strong Central American teams like Costa Rica. Panama has finally gotten up there. Honduras has opportunities as well. I would also say Guatemala. Has been up in Deca. Looked like that they might have, you know, improved themselves after their Gold Cup run in 2015. But unfortunately, they crashed out in the semifinal round for qualifying, and that's a shame because it just didn't look like Jamaica was going to do anything. But let me say this. The ideas of Victor Montagliani, he wants to improve qualifying. Now, obviously, it's not just for competition's sake, but also financial stakes as well, because we want to see CONCACAF earning money the right way since the scandal happened that that took out Jeffrey Webb and any other officials that tried to continue on with the scandals, the bribing, and money laundering, whatever you have you. But what can you do? What should you do when you're trying to say, we need to fix this? We need to fix these qualifying situations. What can we do? And here's the quoting from Montagliani, courtesy of Rob Harris. Something needs to change because you can't have You can't have 85% of your members who are on the outside looking in 2 years before the World Cup. It doesn't make sense. He also says, it's great for those six teams over the next year and a bit, but how about the other ones? It's hard. Caribbean countries have problems climbing the FIFA rankings just because we are not able to play as many international games as you want to. And that's John Krish Nadath, the president of Suriname Soccer, who Suriname has improved themselves. He's of the Suriname Soccer Federation. He told the AP earlier in this article. And here's Montagliani again. Can you imagine you are a country trying to find a sponsor and they say, I'm all for it, when's your next big game? And it's 3 years from now. So we seriously need to look at our World Cup qualifying system that is a bit archaic. We need to be a bit more all-encompassing. We're looking at how we balance competitions with our commercial priorities without putting too much stress on already too busy calendars as well. So what type of new configuration? And he says maybe it's like the Europeans or maybe it's like the South Americans with the league or it's a hybrid of the two. So let me just say this, and once again, this is just an idea. I'm not saying my word is law. I'm not saying Montagliani should give me a call and say we're going to go with you. We're going to go with what you're saying, Mr. Feuerstein. I'm not trying to be saying my word is law, but what I am saying is this. What I'm saying is I think I might have found a way that it could help out, not just fixing these situations with World Cup qualifying, but if you want to keep the hex around, I think you should do this because I think the hex is the showcase for CONCACAF when it comes to World Cup qualifying. And at the same time, when FIFA sends out their calendar years after Russia 2018, you know, what's going to be for 2019, what's going to be for 2020, what's going to be for 2021 before you go to the next World Cup in 2022. And we're not going to worry about Qatar at the moment because that's going to be that is right now not on the issue or the agenda here tonight. I want to just talk about changing up possibly World Cup qualifying for CONCACAF. So this is what I did. This is what I did, and I'd like to think it's a good idea. Now, like I said before, my idea or my word is not law. So CONCACAF can do whatever they want. If anyone from CONCACAF is listening to this post-game show, more than welcome to entertain this idea for you. I don't mind it. I think it would be great. And at the same time, I don't think the full league thing will work when it comes to what CONMEBOL does, because we've got 35 nations that are part of FIFA and CONCACAF. Obviously, there are other nations inside CONCACAF that are not FIFA nations, and they're not going to be involved in this thing as well. Now, that's why they're always qualifying for the Gold Cup, but that's something different. Here's what I'm saying right now. This is what I'm saying right now. If you want to scrap the goal aggregate qualifiers for rounds 1, 2, and 3, if you want to scrap the three semifinal group stage games, the three group stage semifinal matches, you know, you want to throw that out, you want to, you know, get rid of that, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But I think what they should do is this. You need to do it in a sense of group, six groups, five groups of six, one group of five. Wait for the schedule to come out for by FIFA for what the international dates are. And then and when you get your you know, your top six sides, you keep the hex. You keep the hex and you just do it from there. So here's what you do here. And this is how I've set it up. And we're using, or at least I used, FIFA rankings from last month in September 15th of 2016, this past September, FIFA rankings. I used it as an example. So here's what you do. Pot A will have teams ranked 1 through 6 to be drawn in the first position. Pot B for teams ranked 7 through 12 in the second position. Teams ranked 13 and 18, pot C, third position. Teams ranked 19th through 24, drawn out of pot D for fourth position. Teams ranked 25 through 30 will be pulled out of pot E for the fifth position. And then the final five spots, ranked 31 through 35, pot E for the sixth position. So once again, you want six groups, five groups of six, and then the sixth group will be, five. So for the heck of it, here's what we're going to do. You have teams ranked 31 through 35. 35 is the Bahamas, 34th Angola, 33rd British Virgin Islands, 32 Turks and Caicos, 31 Cayman Islands. That's pot E for groups A, B, C, D, and E. And group F will only have the team one group of five. Pot E, ranked 30th is Montserrat, 29th is U.S. Virgin – excuse me, ranked 29th U.S. Virgin Islands – ranked 28th, Bermuda, ranked 27th, Suriname, ranked 26th, St. Lucia, ranked 25th, Dominica. And then so on and so on and so on. And then the top, and we'll just say, you know, there's pot C, there's pot B. Pot A will have the top ranked countries: Mexico, Costa Rica, United States, Panama, Trinidad and Tobago, and St. Kitts and Nevis. You will have, after Russia 2018, you will have the CONCACAF Gold Cup being played in June in 2019. And then once the CONCACAF Gold Cup is finished at the end of June, You have July, you have August, and you have September. So here's what you do. In 2019, you will have teams playing against each other for their first two group stage games in this round one. And then you'll have two in October and two games in November. And then when you get to the new year in 2020, you'll have two games in March, no World Cup qualifying in the middle of the summer, but then you finish it off with two games in September and two games in October. Whoever finishes first in all six groups will advance to the hexagonal. There will be no second place finishers in a playoff. That's the thing here. I think you're going to have to get rid of the play. You're not. You can't implement playoffs. You can't. There's not enough groups to implement a playoff system. You have. I mean, if it's brutal, it's brutal. But at the moment, this is an idea. So the top six group winners will advance to the hexagonal, and then end of 2020 in November, two games. And then the rest of 2021, two in March, two in June, two in September, two in October. Because if CONCACAF is still going to be getting their 3.5 spots, then the top three will automatically go to the World Cup, while the fourth place finisher will go to the international playoffs, the intercontinental playoffs. So once again, this is how I wrote it. Here's my version of a possible change, and at the same time leaving the final round intact for the Confederation, using three permanent spots and the fourth place finisher going to the international playoffs. 35 nations represent CONCACAF, obviously, with three in the North Zone, which is the United States, Canada, Mexico, seven in the Central UNCAF Zone, and 25 nations in the Caribbean Football Union Zone. Since the discussions of removing goal aggregate playoffs that begins the first three rounds and the three semifinal groups, but I believe the hexagonal must remain to get to the 3.5 spots for the World Cup. So here's my idea. This is the start. Once again, here it is. The official World Cup qualifying confederational draw, whenever FIFA sets up the date and location for the host nation, using the FIFA rankings, and this is just an example, like I've said, of September 2016, as an example, there will be five groups of six with one group of five. Six pots will be used to place the teams in their respective positions. And we've already talked about that. Pot A, B, C, D, E, and F. Top ranked sides are in group pot A in the first position. Next best second ranked teams, pot B. Third ranked teams, pot C, pot D for fourth, pot E for fifth, pot F for sixth. Round one. All matches will be fought after the CONCACAF Gold Cup in 2019, and the first half will have two matches in September, two matches in October, two matches in November. In 2020, the first round will continue with two matches in March, then another break for other summer tournaments like Euro 2020, which you don't want to see World Cup qualifying interfering with the European Cup because you know it's going to lose a lot of interest and stuff. The final match days will have two in September, then two in October. The Hex. In all six groups, only the nations that win their respective qualifying groups will advance to the hexagonal. No second-place playoffs, and match days begin in November of 2020. Two matches in November, and when we get to 2021, the remaining match days will be played within two in March, two in June, two in September, and finally two in October. The top three finishers will automatically advance to the World Cup, while the fourth-place finisher will go to the intercontinental playoffs, drawn with either CONMEBOL, Asia, or an African opponent. Or I should say Oceanic opponent. So hold on one second. Let me just fix that because that's wrong because Africa, CAF, gets five automatic spots. Opponent. The beginning of the tournament will have the change while the ending of the tournament will remain the same. But at least it will answer the questions that the new CONCACAF president, Victor Montagliani, has to changing the current World Cup qualifying format. Now, once again, like I've said many, many times already, my word is not law here. I'm not saying that my idea solves his problems. Listen, if there's more problems involved that need to be fixed, I understand. But if he feels that World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF, they need to get rid of the goal aggregate playoffs in rounds 1, 2, and 3, and also getting rid of the semifinal round of qualifying, which would be three groups of four. And, of course, you're hoping for better, better competition, then this would be it. And that means you're going to have to face a minnow. You're going to have to maybe face more than one minnow. You might have to face two minnows. Now, once again, I didn't do a full draw. I only did, through the rankings, who's in first, second, third, fourth, 1 through 35 straight out. So basically, like I've said already, Mexico has been ranked first, Costa Rica second, USA third, Panama fourth, Trinidad and Tobago fifth, St. Kitts and Nevis sixth. And that's the past September rankings from FIFA themselves, the confederational rankings, not the full rankings, who's first all the way and who's like 305. But once again, this is the setup. This is what you have to do. I mean, it's easy to sit there and complain and be like, I don't know if your idea is better. Well, what's your idea then? Well, I don't have an idea. Well, see, that's the thing. You can't criticize my idea unless you have your own idea. So if you have your own idea to do something like this, then go ahead and do it. Do you feel that, the UEFA way is the right way to do it for CONCACAF? Do you feel CONMEBOL's way is the right way to go to CONCACAF? Here's the other question then. Because there's an uneven amount of teams here. That's why there's 35, not 34. If there was 34, then what is it? Divided by 2, that's 1, that's going to be 17. So what are you going to do? You're going to have 17 and 18 going through, a straight-up league situation like CONMEBOL? I mean, it's a great idea, but, wouldn't it be a little bit unfair? I mean, I don't think that's a good idea to do the CONMEBOL way. Not saying that CONMEBOL's way is the wrong way. For them, it's the right way because they have 10 nations. Uruguay, Brazil, Ecuador, Colombia, Argentina, Paraguay, Chile, Peru, Bolivia, Venezuela. They've been doing this for a long, long time. I know there are other countries that are part of CONCACAF that's a part of South America. But the point is that South America didn't want those countries that are a part of, that's connected to their continent. But at the same time, they didn't want minnows. They don't want minnows. They feel that their 10 nations are enough to go forward and to deal with their own World Cup qualifying. And that's fine. Let them do what they want to do. I don't think they should be like maybe Africa, maybe Asia. I mean, if you want to say Asia, fine. That's fine. But you know what? I think the way the UEFA does it, I think that's what they have to do. But at the same time, let's not cut off their nose. At the same time, they should not cut off their nose and spite their face because they need to understand. I think that the hexagonal is the way to go. The hexagonal is the way to go because that is their bread and butter right there. They have to understand that while I think implementing the major questions of, what can these nations do about flying or coming over to play, let's just say for the heck of it right now, that the United States in Group C, they will have Honduras, they will have Guyana, they'll have Barbados, they'll have Suriname, they'll have the British Virgin Islands. Yes. Yes. It is not. It's a cakewalk of a group because four of the five opponents, I should say, they're probably not going to make it anyway. So that's why you have the United States taking on Honduras, and you have to see what they're going to do against each other to fight for that top spot. And like I said before, there's no second round playoffs here, like what they do in UEFA. You got to throw that out. Throw that out of the equation, and here you go. And whoever, surprises maybe Costa Rica, which I don't think will ever happen, surprising maybe Trinidad and Tobago, maybe even St. Kitts and Nevis. But one thing is for sure. You are going to need if you want to change things up, and I know they want to change up the CONCACAF Champions League as well, and that's for a different show. We're only talking about World Cup qualifying. I believe that at this particular point in time, this idea can work. Like I said already, my word is not law. It's just an idea. If someone else has a better idea, if someone within CONCACAF has a better idea, you know, they can throw it out there. But once again, I truly believe that this is an idea that can work for next year. And at the same time, whenever FIFA decides to start drawing or having the Confederational World Cup qualifying draw for Oceania, for UEFA, for CONMEBOL, for Africa, for Asia, for CONCACAF, throw this in. At least what we're saying is that every nation within this confederation of North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, that is if you're not playing in the sixth group, because it's going to be five teams, you're going to be playing two matches less in that sixth group. Outside of that, I think this is the only way CONCACAF is going to make it work. I think this is the only way it's going to work, and there's going to be no playoff to, you know, because you want to keep the hex. The hex is the best thing that's been ever created when it comes to World Cup qualifying itself within this confederation. And at least, and it, you know, depends on who's doing well, who's not doing well. At least you can say that the rest of the nations from CONCACAF, 35, and you eliminate 29 teams. You have 29 teams left, I think, or something like that, 29 teams that get eliminated. I believe that you still keep the hex. You still have six matches. You finish it off in 2019, September, October, November. And then we get to 2020. You get two in March. You take a long break. Come back in September, October to finish off the first round of World Cup qualifying for 2022, and then when you get to November of 2020, you begin the hex in November, like what we're doing next month for the hex going to Russia. And then you finish off the hex in 2021 with two in March, two in June, two in September, two in October. Does this mean they're going to have to maybe get rid of the biannual Gold Cup? You're probably going to have to. Because I think that's ridiculous now. I think we're here, and I just think that what you can do is maybe you use 2021 for the CFU and the UNCAF to have their Caribbean Cup tournament and the Centro Americana tournament. You have that in 2021 for those nations that are or not going to be in the hex. And I think that's a great idea. You don't have it biannually. So whoever plays in 2021 in the Caribbean Cup playoffs, the Caribbean Cup tournament and the Centro Americana tournament from UNCAF, that could be in 2021. And then after the World Cup in 2022, you have the Gold Cup in 2023. I think that can work out for everyone. And everyone is still having memorable matches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to my opinion, of course. This has been the 40 Teams Fire American Soccer Show. United States with a 1-1 draw over New Zealand at RFK tonight. Julian Green with the only goal for the United States. And thank you so much for my idea for possible changings of World Cup qualifying. And I'll speak to you next time. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. I'll talk to you on Monday afternoon. Take care. Bye-bye for now. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye for now.